Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. My name's Taylor Payne and it's 35 down, 3 to go as Newcastle United are back in Premier League action against Nottingham Forest at the City Ground. They're looking to build on last week's home victory against Brighton, and we'll hear from George and Chris in a moment, but first, let's get into some action.
Sends that in, decent ball. Oh, a Pope has a flat, but then makes the save. Altamada carrying it, shifts it on. Asuna! And it's saved by Sells. So looking for Awoni. And Awoni is strong. And saved by Pope. Yates, wide. Looking for Asuna. And what a chance for Guimarães. And Sells did just about enough. Don't think the Brazilian really caught hold of it. But he's in again. And again he can't beat Sells. This one lined up. Oh, was almost perfect. Here's Barnes. Barnes through. Takes the chance. Anderson. Nets. Anderson.
Anderson left foot, crossed the keeper, and it had to be him against his former club, didn't it?
Congratulations to all of us, Chris, because Newcastle United are now mathematically safe from relegation. Yes, come on, get in. How are you feeling?
I feel like we should have just ended the season in March and not had to sit through all of this. But I suppose at that point, Newcastle weren't mathematically safe. So yeah, it's a huge achievement for every single person associated with the club, I suppose. Yeah, that, at the start of the season, if you'd said with two games spare, Newcastle United would be safe in the Premier League. We'd all snapped your hand off of that, wouldn't we?
Back in the old days, we certainly would. Yeah, in fact, the second thing I'd written down to mention was just in capital letters, a la Donald Trump, please, 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 can we just all end the season now? So you've preempted me, but I think that is fine. How are you, apart from being absolutely incandescent with rage at me for managing to delete all of your statistics pre-match?
Yeah, I mean, I am livid about this. You do mention how I set up these Google Docs, which is now it's about 20 pages before a game. All these, this work that I spend every week going into, and then about 15 minutes before kickoff, you managed to delete several key parts of it, including when we had to rapidly change everything we were writing when Newcastle conceded yet another late goal, and all the stuff I had about clean sheets you'd managed to somehow delete. And I couldn't access it at that moment.
Well, so, I just knew it wasn't going to happen.
But I had to then mention how few clean sheets they'd made, but I didn't have those stats immediately to hand. So,
well, I apologise.
Yes, well, then apology accepted. But how do I feel? I feel better than I did at half time when I was sitting there thinking, Christ, I've got to put up with another 45 minutes of this, because that first half was very, very difficult watch. But then at the same time, I also feel incredibly frustrated because it feels like Groundhog Day again. That Newcastle United got themselves into a position where they should have won the game and then somehow managed to not win the game. So, yeah, difficult to sum up really, other than, yeah, frustration, the overriding emotion, I think.
that's fair enough, because I do think we should split this little pod up into kind of good and bad, because it is a bit difficult to know how to feel. Let's start with the bad so that we can at least end feeling slightly warm and cuddly. But as you say, it's another late concession. It's more dropped points. More dropped points from winning positions. You'll never sing that. It is 27, though, isn't it now, Chris?
Which is more than half Newcastle's entire tally across the course of the season. So if you added them on, as we keep saying, they would be significantly in a healthier position. But yes, 27.
But if you added 5 points on, they'd be in such a better position. Well, if you added 10 of those points, exactly, that would take them to 56. That would take them to 6, I think. I mean, it's astonishing.
They are 7 points clear now, I think, though, in that points drop from winning positions league. So they are. They are making that very much their own. I don't think they're going to lose that one. Well, mathematically, can they even lose it? Unless it's teams, I don't think they can. That might be secure for them for the season.
Champions of the drop points league. I mean, it is pretty incredible, and it does mean that Newcastle stay in 13th. They had briefly got, I think, into the top half on the as it stands table. I mean, Europe's not going to happen. It is. I mean, this has just been. It's just been a chronic story this season.
I mean, they look like a 13th place. I mean, Forest looked like the 16th place side. The reality is, I think Newcastle were the better side for large spells and deserved in many ways to win the game, but their fundamental failings that they have at both ends of the pitch came back to haunt them. They lacked quality in front of goal, and then they have one lapse of concentration, and that's what 13th place sides do. So that they are where they deserve, as tight as it may be in many parts of the league, they are where they deserve to be.
Yeah, and of course, clean sheets remain a real problem. It's one clean sheet now in 22 in all competitions, and you just don't have that feeling that they're capable of doing it, do you? You don't have any confidence that they're going to keep the ball out of the net, even in a game like this one, where Forest had chances, Nick Pope had to make some saves. But it's not like you sort of felt like they were massively under pressure. But you, at the same time, you just don't think that they're going to do it, do you?
No, and I mean, Howe even said after the game he didn't try to defend it. Really, he said that he said if this was sort of a one-off, because we didn't, Forest didn't really have loads and loads of opportunities. But if this was just a one-off, where it's sort of a defensive lapse, you'd say, well, they can happen, but they're consistently doing it late in matches, and they sit deeper in that moment. They switch off to runners. I mean, Bruno Guimaraes is too easily beaten by Ellie Lands, and there were a couple of moments. I thought on the ball he was good, Bruno, but there were a couple of moments where he did look leggy today. He looked like he lacked energy. And then Lewis Hall doesn't really get the challenge across. I think it's a little bit hard. I think a lot of people are digging out Hall a lot. I think it's a little bit harsh. He doesn't cover himself in glory necessarily, but I don't think he expected Anderson to charge through as easy as he did and get the sort of finish off that he managed to. But yeah, Howe also said he was asked, like, why does this keep happening? And he said, I'm not going to try and come up with excuses, because I can tell you all the things we've worked on in training, but the reality is we still need to get better. He said, I think we have largely been better defensively over the course of the last few weeks on the whole, but at the same time, in those key moments, they're still conceding. And so, yeah, it is concerning, and you just don't see it being sorted before the end of the season now. I mean, then we've got two games left, and I think this is just the Newcastle that we are. I think the shortcomings in attack and the shortcomings in defence, if anyone held out hope that both problems or either of the problems were going to be sorted by the end of the season, I just don't see it.
No, it's not going to happen. And you mentioned Elliot Anderson. It comes in the 88th minute, the equaliser. And that's interesting in its own way, because, I mean, I agree with you. I think Newcastle were overall the better of the two teams. But it's the team that has actually been playing a European semi-final on Thursday night that, I mean, Newcastle were better in the second half. And there were moments when they had, you know, impetus. But it's actually Forest who were driving forward in the 88th minute, and they're the team that played on Thursday night. I mean, that's not great, is it?
No, it's not great. And I mean, even for large spells of the game, I thought Anderson was good in some ways. But again, like I was saying about Bruno Guimaraes looking leggy, I thought that there were points, maybe you couldn't see it on TV, but where Anderson was almost sort of stopping running, he could see maybe the physical exertions that they've had being in all their European games, had to play on Thursday night. But then when it mattered late on, he smelled blood and he took that opportunity and he did dance in, whereas Newcastle, mental fatigue, physical fatigue, whatever it is, and that just That's clearly a hangover from other parts of this season. And again, I just don't see that. Despite Newcastle having had these spare weeks or free midweeks since the March international breaks, it doesn't seem to have fully reset the players. I think they need a summer off to fully reset, or they need some freshness injected into the group, and they need some sort of steel added in, mental steel, because at the minute they do look in those last few moments of games when they really are up against it, they still do look like they're going to will. They got through the Brighton match, but it was very nervy, and really, realistically, the Nelly did throw that away at certain moments. But then today, they were punished when really Forest didn't have very many opportunities in that second half.
We've seen Newcastle play a lot worse in this away from home. We've certainly seen them be less of an attacking threat away from home. Today wasn't the story. They've had 16 shots. They've had 6 shots on target. They've got an XG of 1.54, which is significantly higher than Forest. But it was a story of things still not quite clicking and of missed chances. We saw the best and worst of Willisula. We saw Bruno have two good chances in the second half. We saw them hit the crossbar. But at the end of all that, it is still only 17 goals away from home in the Premier League this season. And there are only 2 or 3 teams who have a worse record than that. They are still this unfinished jigsaw, aren't they? They're still this patchwork team when it comes to finding a way in attack.
Very much so. And it's just, the first half was so frustrating because, I mean, the Newcastle had so much of the ball for the first 20 minutes. I think it was 75% at one stage, 78%, it might have even been after sort of 10 minutes. And Forest really struggling when they were the back five, and they then had a tactical goalkeeper injury to Matt Sells? It looked like it, and then changed to a 4. Yeah. And after that, they got into the game a little bit more with a bit more of the ball and started a bit more threat. But Newcastle had so much of it, and there were just a lack of clear-cut chances again. They got into the positions, and then the final ball was lacking, or the decision-making was lacking, or people didn't make the runs. Or just sometimes they just look slow on the ball. They're moving from side to side. And I know that so many fans have this complaint of Newcastle just pass it across their back four, trying to search for where that ball along the line. And there's just like aimless crosses going to the box. There was quite a few of them in the first half. But in the second half, they did have more chances, particularly once the subs came on, particularly once Ramsey and Barnes came on, and they were a bit more direct, a bit quicker. Maybe it's because Forrest came out a little bit more as well. And that's when they looked better. But yeah, they're just very frustrating to watch, because you feel like with the quality, theoretically, that they have with some of their attacking players, they could and should do more, but they just don't have that killer instinct in front of goal, and it's just the same old story, really.
So we have to talk about Nick Waltimada, who comes back into the team. I think it's the first time he starts a game since March 22nd. He's playing.
First time since Sunderland, when he also played in this position.
Of course. Yeah, and playing in that sort of elevated role. I think there were 2 touches in the opposition box, which is the same as Johan Wisser, who came on as a sub. We saw some good things from him. Not enough, I would say. You're going to be writing a bit about him, certainly, and he's somebody you asked Eddie Howe about as well, didn't you?
Yes, I asked Howe about the system, which I think some fans will probably smirk at, because he basically said to me the system hadn't really changed since Brighton, but also Nick Waltimada's role and the thought of bringing him back in the team, and this is what he said.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a dramatic change of system from Brighton. It was the same shape, but obviously for Nick, probably one of a handful of times that he's played that role for us from the start with Will, and they haven't played together too much either, so I thought there's some promising bits for Nick. Probably didn't get him involved as much as we wanted to in that first half, certainly technically. I think we need to see his best qualities, we need to see him on the ball. I thought second half we did really well as a team, and I thought we improved and we became more of a goal threat as the game went on.
I couldn't work out whether that was a positive. Sorry, there's some music in the background. Just to walk past the boot room just outside the city.
Beautiful.
Ground. But I couldn't work out part of Howe's answer. He sort of said, yeah, like after 60 minutes we were sort of better in attack, and I couldn't work out whether that was slight undertones of "we're better when Nick Voldemort's off the pitch." I don't think that's exactly what he meant, but that was sort of. He also praised Ramsey and Jacob Ramsey and Harvey Barnes at other points in this sort of positive effect they had coming off the bench. But I thought there were some nice moments from Voldemort. There was a pass to the right to Willasula, played through. There's a couple of balls he played down, one down the right hand side, Jacob Murphy. He also gave the ball away in the first half, passing it back into his own half and setting up a sort of Forest semi counter attack. But he also, off the ball, worked hard to get back. When I mentioned that Bruno Guimarães was struggling physically at certain points, that Bakwa got away from Bruno, who just sort of left him, and Voldemort sprinted back and ended up making a tackle at the edge of his own box. So there are, you see things that he's working on. You see that physical improvement to a certain degree. You see what he can bring. Oh, there's a police cordon, so I don't know how we get back to our car. Anyway, I'll let those I'm with work that out. But anyway, so yeah, but he still feels like he typifies the shortcomings of this Newcastle side in general. Just where does he fit in? What exactly are they trying to do? Where do they? What is their sort of attacking shape? How do they get the best out of each other? Who complements who in attack? And it just doesn't look like Newcastle have that yet. I mean, Asula and Voldemort haven't played together that much, with sort of Voldemort as the 10, Asula as the striker, Jacob Murphy one side, and then on the other side, you had my mind's just gone completely blank. Joe Linton in the 4-2-3-1. Sorry, my mind went completely blank there. But it just didn't look like a. Again, we've had this last few weeks. You actually look at the players on paper, and you look at it, and you think that's not necessarily the team you would have expected it to be come the start of the season. Come the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned that it was a beautiful touch to Asula, and it was a lovely run forward. He's got the ball, and because he keeps the ball, Walter Mada draws the Forest defenders towards him, and so Asula's in space. But you're right, I mean, then what happens next also sums up Newcastle in some ways, because Asula takes a touch, so the ball goes onto his right foot, and you know that then narrows the angle, and the keeper does well. There's a defender also then sliding in, and if he'd hit it first time with his left foot, you would think Newcastle would have scored. We also then see that, you know, that brilliant free kick from Asula later on.
Yeah, he was very unlucky there, because it dipped fiercely.
Dips, takes a deflection, then hits the crossbar. And I think Newcastle had more dynamism when the subs come on and Walter Mada goes off. But that's not necessarily a criticism. It's just this fact that Newcastle just are so unfinished. Here we are, two games left, and it's still the same questions. And you know, like, while we're on the subject, what did Eddie Howe say afterwards about Anthony Gordon? Because again, he stays on the bench. Newcastle are looking first of all to win a game, then they're looking to, you know, to save a game or to try and get a winner. And the guy that has been their, you know, their sort of most important attacking player for a lot of this season doesn't come on. So what is going on there?
Yeah, so Howe was asked about this, and he said, well, first of all, you know, Anthony's been injured. But then he also said, but the team's been playing well over the course of the last three games, so I didn't want to change too much in that regard of the players. But then in a separate answer, so that one he was asked directly about Anthony Gordon, he was asked about whether he has one eye on the summer, and he basically said, I have to have one eye on the future, and I have to, some of the players I'm picking, I have to think about Newcastle, the moving forward and the players. And that's when he sort of referenced what he thought that Barnes and Ramsey brought. And you could read into that several ways, I suppose. And one part you could perhaps read into that, he talked about Trippier, he mentioned Trippier, and he said about Trippier not being here next season, so he's already thinking ahead from that, which is part of the reason why Lewis Hall played a right back. But he also said that, basically you could also think about how that actually affects Anthony Gordon. Is he thinking that Gordon isn't here next season, so he's not going to be part of my solutions moving forward, or the likelihood is he isn't going to be here, so instead I'm going to look at the other options? So you could read several ways into it. Whether he actually meant it that way is up for debate, but it sort of felt like there was that undertone anyway.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on to some slightly more positive positive things to mention. I mean, it could have been worse, and it often has been. I've been at Crystal Palace not too long ago, and that was truly dreadful. It is two games unbeaten. It's a point away from home, and that is not a bad point away from home. I mean, it doesn't feel like it at the minute, but...
I mean, given Forest's general form in the Premier League, I get it, but I'll be honest, speaking to Paul Taylor, who covers Nottingham Forest for The Athletic, before the match, he was just like, I just see no way that Forest win this. He's like, there's so much positivity, and then the way that how badly they performed against Villa on Thursday, and it did feel like now their season is sort of over in this sort of deflation. So I see it sort of both ways, that they have been in decent form, but at the same time, they have so many injuries as well. They were missing quite a lot of key players, a lot of whom have only been ruled out over the course of the last couple of weeks as well. And yeah, Newcastle couldn't really capitalise on that. And particularly where Newcastle started, if Newcastle had scored early on, then it felt like Forest were there for the take and it might have wilted. So I realised you were trying to take a positive and I've turned it into a bit of a negative. But yeah, I just think it's just to get that general mood that there was around the ground. Yeah, that's sort of frustrating in that regard.
Ahead of West Ham, I think they could and will argue that they still have a little bit of momentum. I mean, it's very difficult not, to not think about this as a missed opportunity, bearing in mind that, you know, bearing in mind the circumstances where they were in the 87th minute and what it might have done to their league position, that is possibly clutching a little bit. But it is an unbeaten, a second game unbeaten. My God, I can't believe I'm highlighting that necessarily.
Second game unbeaten. Yeah.
But it's also a point away from home. It was a lovely goal, wasn't it?
Oh, it was
a
very
beautiful goal.
Yeah.
And it was two substitutes combining. So, you know, that's a positive if you want to look at it like that. So away you go. Let's have a nice description of that goal, please.
Yeah, so Newcastle sort of win the ball inside their own half. Joe Linton gives it inside to Bruno Guimaraes, who's in the centre circle. He plays it on straight to Jacob Ramsey, who on the sort of turn takes a touch and then immediately plays a lovely, perfectly weird pass into Harvey Barnes, who's made the run through the middle, and he then finishes beyond Sells. And it was classic Harvey Barnes in some ways, but it's also what we need to see more of Jacob Ramsey. That's theoretically what they think they were buying last summer, and we haven't seen it enough with that end product. Really, there've been moments, there've been times where he's threatened to kick on, hasn't quite. So hopefully for him, that is more of the sign of things to come when Howe talks about going into next season. And just to add to and a slightly different note, I mean, he didn't actually get on the pitch, so in some ways, mentioning Anthony Elanga as a positive is a weird one. But Elanga got a really, really nice reception just as he walked to the bench before the game for Forest fans who love him. And speaking to, as I mentioned, Paul Taylor earlier, he was just saying, he was absolutely waxing lyrical about Elanga and saying he's absolutely adored here. And I know it's a different club, I know it's a different style of play, it hasn't necessarily worked at Newcastle, but they clearly have a lot of belief in him. They're surprised it hasn't worked out in the way that it has at Newcastle so far. So maybe you can cling to that hope that after a decent pre-season going into next year as well, he can show far more, because Howe keeps saying that there is far more to come from him, and we just have to hope that that is the case as well.
Can I ask a question which may sound stupid, even for me? If we're talking about Newcastle dropping 27 points from winning positions, which of course we are, does that mean that there was a good side struggling to get out of what is clearly a mediocre side, you know, in terms of where they are in the league and in terms of where they are with results? If they're good enough to get ahead in games, doesn't that mean there's a good side in there somewhere?
No, I think it's too simplistic. I think that's part of being, that's only the hard part of an element of being a good side. Good sides also find ways to fight back in the games. Newcastle don't do that. They've only got 3 points from losing positions this season as well. So, no, I think that that's too fundamental a way of looking at it. Yes, they have got themselves in the winning positions, but they've thrown it away too often. And so I think that given that we've got to 2 games left in a mammoth campaign where they've played 56 matches so far, and this is still an issue, and no, I don't think you can say that this is a good side. They have too many shortcomings for me.
Dear listener, I tried my best. I did try my best. I tried very hard. I mean, you know, it was a foolhardy attempt. Perhaps it was misguided. Perhaps I'm just a simplistic fool, but I tried. Give me the credit for trying. Right, you have to get yourself home, Chris, don't you? Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we sign off?
No, just that I only have one game left in this season because I go away to Crete for my sister's wedding, so I missed Fulham on the final day, but you have 2 games still to endure, so I do pity you in that sense, but I am also very relieved that I only have one more game left to get through.
Well, maybe I'll delete the rest of your stats. I mean, 21 pages of stats. I mean, that stops being useful. After one page, that stops being useful. Anyway, I do apologise to you. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Get home safe, Chris, and we will talk to you in midweek. We've got a couple of interesting things coming up for you, we hope, this week. So please keep an ear out for that. Chat to you soon.
Well, another point on the board, but another late goal conceded. Two games left in this marathon season. Thank you all for listening to this Matched episode, and make sure you check out podonthetine.supportandcast.fm and subscribe to our Extra Time service for more Pod on the Tyne fun and games. And thanks again to George and Chris for their time. We'll speak to you again very, very soon. Goodbye.